Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips for the football?
Your best bet is to head over to BetVictor. They're giving new customers a terrific welcome offer. If you bet a minimum of £10, they'll give you £30 in free bets.
Phew, that's a steal of a deal.
It's a good darn deal that'll make you squeal for real. Neil?
My name's not Neil.
I know, but it rhymes.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on the football at BetVictor. 18 plus, opt in and bet on any football marketing at odds of evens or greater. No cash out, 7-day expiry. Terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey, it's Herbert, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. New episode today. It is the 420 sit down from Seattle, Washington with Sean Kemp, the Rain Man, and Gary Payton the Glove. If you are into the NBA, then this episode is for you. And even if you're not, dude, this is a chance to hear a couple of legendary athletes talk loose, egoosey, and just get raw and real, man. Not the way that you're accustomed to on the interviews and the late night talk shows. This is a real in-person, in front of 350 people conversation that happened on 420 with myself hosting. And I mean, this was a childhood dream of mine. I mean, it's two of my favorite athletes of all time. Grew up watching these guys, and to now call them buds and get to rip it up on stage for almost 90 minutes, having some drinks, having some smokes. Enjoy the hell out of this episode. And if you want to watch it and see how fun it was, it's up on my YouTube, youtube.com/AdamRayComedy. I am in Yellow Springs, Ohio this weekend. Holy hell. We're doing two shows at Dave Chappelle's Club, The Firehouse, on Friday, and then a Dr. Phil Live with Dave himself on Saturday. I can't believe it. This is a wild week. And I threw out the first pitch of the Mariners game on Monday here in Seattle. Our head coach of the Seahawks, Mike McDonald, came out. And, I called to the bullpen. I faked an injury, called to the bullpen. These first pitches, I've done six. Three in Seattle. They're a blast. Another, bucket list thing. But every time they say comedian, I feel a little pressure to do something entertaining. So I said, let's figure out something fun to do. Mike McDonald was down. Awesome. Our QB, Sam Darnold, came out. John Schneider. We had a great time up in the suite. Just a real wild day. And coming off of eight sold-out shows in Eugene, Oregon at the Olsen Run Comedy Club, shout-out to my boy Joe in the Olsen Run Comedy Club. Go support at Eugene, Oregon. And shout-out to all the fans who packed out eight sold-out shows. The shows are sold out this week in Yellow Springs. And then where am I next? Oh, my goodness. We've got Dr. Phil shows. Dr. Phil Live, Kansas City, June 1st. Dr. Phil Live, Cleveland, Ohio, June 6th and June 8th in Indianapolis. June 19th in Pittsburgh. June 21st in Atlantic City. June 13th to 14th, I'll be at the Mic Drop Comedy Club in San Diego, California. And then July, more stand-up, more Phil until August. And then we're done with Phil. There are part one and part two, Dr. Phil Live, on YouTube from Toronto. Check those out. Check out my special, like and subscribe. December 19th, the Moore Theater in Seattle. Tickets are on sale now. Adam Ray and Dr. Phil merch at AdamRayComedy.com. Follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me, Adam Ray Comedy, on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. And, and we got the Jeremy Show, the Jeremy's House. And that's what's up. First ever show. It's going to be wild. Surprise guests, live band, prizes, sex stuff. Yeah, Jeremy's House. The people asked, and we're doing it, baby. First ever, Jeremy's House, May 28th, main room of the Comedy Store. I think we've sold 190 tickets, so I got about 120 left. Oh, boy. I got to go to bed. I'm pushing the candle at both ends. Is that how you say it? All right. Enjoy this episode. Go check it out on YouTube. Enjoy your weekend. I love you guys.
Thank you. Seattle Supersonics fan, please give it up for the hilarious Adam Ray!
Let's fucking go, Seattle! Make some noise! Come on! Let's go! Let's fucking go! Let's go! Fucking yeah! Keep it going for this guy. Fuck yeah. You guys fired up to be here. Keep it going for yourselves. The first ever 420 sit down with the glove and the rain man. Are you fired up for a good night? Oh, let's fucking go, man. What's going on? You good, Bri? Oh, Bri's already being shady in the corner. All right. Already scared me. I haven't smoked yet, but I was like, dude, this is going to be a great night. Happy Easter. Give it up for Easter, right? Give it up, man. Give it up for Easter, dude. Jesus and bunnies, man. I'm a Jew. Yeah. One woo. The rest of you laughed. I don't know if that's the response I was hoping for. Who came in prepared? Who came in on some edibles or something? Yeah. My man... We got this guy who looks like if weed grew into a person with a beanie and the shaggy Scooby-Doo hair by himself going, yeah, what did you ingest before he came out to the show?
A lot of edibles.
A lot of edibles? Let's go. Let's attach a number to it just for old time's sake. Three big-ass brownies? Fuck yeah. And again, just for even more clarification, how much did you put inside of the said brownies? No fucking idea. Oh, shit. Okay, so this could be our first medical situation tonight. Yeah, okay. Well, you hope so? Yeah, I don't think anybody thought you were going to say that. Yeah, that's... yeah, man, I hope I pass out. All right, you guys ready to get the show started? Make some noise for me. Come on, you guys can do it. You guys can do better than that. Fucking hit those... hit that video for me, Casey. It's the first ever 420 show at the Tacoma Comedy Club. Let's get this fucking shit going. Get that video going for me, Casey. Are you guys fired up there? Turn that shit up, Case. Sean Kemp, make it fucking loud for him, everybody. Come on. What are we doing right now? What are we doing? Look at this shit. You guys feeling good?
Shit, I'm feeling great.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling good. We got a bucket of fun in the middle.
Shit, I got all my Tito's and everything.
That's your drink.
Sean,
drink?
Sean, you got your weed?
No, oh, I got that stuff.
This is wild to have you guys here. First time at the club, at Tacoma Comedy Club?
This for our first time. This
Let's go.
Absolutely, first time.
First time together at Tacoma Comedy Club. I think that's worthy of an applause, you guys. I just want to give a quick stat real quick. Between you guys, there's 15 All-Star appearances, 3 gold medals, Defensive Player of the Year award, an NBA title, over 40,000 points, and the best highlight reels the NBA has ever fucking seen. I think everybody can agree with that. Let's just get that out of the way. There's so many jerseys and fucking boat hats. I mean, did you know there's a supersonic Gilligan's Island hat? Dude, someone's probably got a fucking deadlift shrimp tampon in right now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Fuck that. I'm going to take that from him.
Yeah. Sorry, finders keepers. You guys have been buds for how long? Let's just start there.
Shit.
Where?
Was it 90, 89? 89. Sean had just got drafted.
I got drafted.
And then he started watching me because they say they wanted to try to get me in the draft.
Well, yes.
And how would I work with him if we can get him? And Sean started calling me when I was in college. Yeah. And Sean had just got drafted. And then so happened, you know, them balls got lucky and I got here. I got drafted here.
Yeah, dude. Number two overall pick?
Number two.
Let's go.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah.
He was the second pick. And that year, well, I guess that was my first season here. So after my first season, we was looking to re-up in the guard position. But we had no idea we were going to get the number two pick. But for some reason, after the All-Star break, the team was like, hey, we want you to start watching this guy. Matter of fact, watch this. They're playing this Saturday. They're playing UCLA this Saturday. But I think I was going to get you put on 50.
Fuck, 50 points?
50. On UCLA.
God damn. Who were you playing? A bunch of little people? Like, why were 50? No, what were you doing?
It was almost like my grandkids. Yeah.
When you know you're just completely dominating on the court, does it just feel different?
To me, when me and Sean start dominating, yeah, it was easy. I thought me and him used to come out and just say what we gonna do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I told him I'd give him about 4 or 5 lobs. We'd do whatever we wanted to do.
Get each other excited, yeah. You know, hyped up.
It was about us. We stopped ourselves. If we didn't play well, it was on us. It wasn't on nobody else stopping us.
Is it true? I think, Sean, you told me this once, that you guys played those. Weren't there games happening at Green Lake? Like pickup games?
Summer.
We play summer league games, and we play summer games at Green Lake, but what Gary tried to tell you is basically, man, we was a little selfish on the court at first.
Yeah.
We was worried about ourselves, man, so we was out there having a lot of fun.
That's any young player,
right? Celebrating, having lob dunks, you know, pointing at people, having a lot of fun.
Who were you pointing at?
But it was a lot of anybody we wanted to.
Girls in the crowd, but it was
different with me and Sean, though, because a lot of people don't understand. People just think that a chemistry comes just because you get on the basketball court. I was at his house. He was at my house. We was out. We was doing stuff.
Shooting
Sean
pool,
used to have all them damn dogs in his house. That'd be scared them up. So I was like, yeah. And then we used to kick it a lot. You know what I'm saying? So it was a lot different. It was a lot different.
You got to get that off-court chemistry to feel good about what's happening on the court, right?
I think so. I think we spent so much time with each other off the court that we became partners on the court. So when we faced adversity, so basically when the team came to us, it was like, we about to trade both of y'all asses. Yeah, we about to trade both of your asses up out of here. Then we kind of got together and was like, hold on a minute, you know, great. That's showing what the real deal.
Let's go.
Yeah, and that was in 93. And then both of us made the All-Star team that same year George Karl came in.
Yeah.
And then we took off from there. And it was his history.
Yeah, shout out to George Karl, by the way. I mean, I don't know. We've had a lot of coaches in the Sonics history, but it feels like that was a guy that, I mean, you guys can speak of this better than we can from just watching on TV, but it looks like he was a guy that got in your face, but you respected him when he did it, right?
Absolutely, man. George was going to get in your face, in your ass and everything else, man.
Yeah.
All in your personal business, all in your space. He was going to get in there.
Like, George seems like the guy that, like, if he found out, like, he fucked your girl, you'd be like, it does smell good. You know what I'm saying?
In his younger years,
I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying he feels like a confident guy.
In his younger years, that might.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Let's cut to a clip.
He's crazy. Yeah, he's fucking crazy.
He does it, dude. He walked with some swagger, dude. I mean, and you want that from a coach, no?
But he was arrogant. You know, he went to North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
With Dean Smith, and he was an arrogant guy because he had always had to prove himself.
Right.
So as soon as he came in there, he went at me, and then I went back at him.
Oh, shit. Sure.
You know, I used to call him bitches. He used to call me hoes, and I'd do anything else. You know what I'm saying? And then what Coach Tim Gerkowitz would do, he was like, yeah, y'all done got to have fun now, so get y'all ass in the office and start drinking. And then we just start drinking together, and then it would be over.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Dude, this is why...
A drink solves everything.
It really does, dude. This is why I always tell my sober fans, I'm like, you're such a fucking buzzkill. Do you know what I'm saying? Lighten up, have a fucking vodka soda, sleep on the couch. Yeah, is there, dude, those, the 90s, I mean, everybody talks about like the 90s, dude, it was better fucking musically, it was better, you know, fucking, the weather was better, man, Katy Perry wasn't fucking going to space, you know, like, but it, fucking, you know, but hoops-wise, I mean, I feel like, you know, I was just having this conversation with a buddy, I was like, not that I want to see basketball fights, but it feels like when there was a scuffle, it just felt like there was more passion involved, you know?
Well, basketball fucking soft right now.
It is, right? I didn't say it. Shit, love soft. Which means it's fucking
shit
true.
Is soft. Man, in the 90s, man, we used to knock a motherfucking head off, man, and get up and do whatever you do. And we ain't got to go to no videos talking about, oh, it's a flagrant two. It's a flagrant five. Fuck all that. That's a basketball play, man.
Let's go, dude.
No blood, yeah. No autopsy.
Yeah, and then we gonna come right back at you. You hit me, I'm gonna hit your ass back.
That's what it
was. You know what I'm saying? And then we just kept it pushing. Shoot the free throws and let's get it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and it's different when you play for a coach. He wants you to kick a little ass. It's a little different. You know, when you play for a coach, he wants you to go out there and actually fight a little bit. And you know, I mean, George was the type of coach, you know, if you didn't fight, you might have to fight him in the locker room.
Oh, shit.
That's true.
It's true.
So if he found out you didn't, or if he saw you didn't stick up for yourself.
I won't name no names, but it was a number of guys who came to Seattle shipped right up out of here because they didn't have enough fight in.
They didn't have no balls. That's what it was.
Fuck it. We got an hour and a half. Let's go down the list. Who was a fucking bitch? Let's get into it. Come on, man. What do you think we're here for? To just talk about George Karl for 60 minutes? No.
Matter of fact, we've been right here in Tacoma.
Yeah, in Tacoma. You remember when we played Tacoma?
Tacoma.
We played here for a year.
We played here in Tacoma.
And got it done. You know what I'm saying?
That was, yeah. I mean, well, that was so they could build
Key Arena. The 95 season, and then we went in there in 96.
How was it to play? I mean, that dome is built for a concert. It's so big, right?
It's built to kick a little ass in that dome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so some fights.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Things got dirtier, huh?
Yeah, we kicked some ass.
In that dome, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, the seats were always sticky. It was a weird vibe in there, dude. Yeah. You don't know who was in there and what they did and what came out. It was and not in that order. Yeah, dude. But, well, I mean, how much does that actually play a factor? Like, a building, like if a, you know, because now everyone's trying to get the new nice arena, but, like, if it's too nice, does it feel, like, do you want it to be a little grungy, the arena or the court, or no?
Well, Key Arena was a motherfucker for us because it was right people on us.
Yeah.
And we sold it out. We sold 16,000.
Talking about the Coliseum or the Key Arena?
The Key Arena.
Oh, yeah.
So the dome was pretty much different because it was wide open.
Yeah.
And the seats were far, but we had a lot of fans, you know what I'm saying, because we were real good.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't like that, so we sold it out, you know what I'm saying? So it was good for us.
The energy was
but
right.
That's why I tell everybody today, fuck that. It ain't no better than the Seattle fans. I don't give a fuck what nobody says.
Let's go.
What a passion.
That's why I tell
what
them.
What a passion in the fans.
Yeah, them motherfuckers be talking about retired jersey in Oklahoma City. Fuck Oklahoma City, because I ain't never been there. See,
dude, fuck Oklahoma City. My mom and stepdad are from there, but I hear what you're saying.
But I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Let's just make it real.
Bro, yeah.
Me and Sean never played in front of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We never played in front of their fans, so why should we give them the pleasure of what we started in Seattle to their retired jersey?
Nah, man.
So our fans should be having that pleasure.
Yeah.
So when Seattle, when the Sonics come back, and mostly we're going to be a part of that, and we're gonna retire Sean and Detlef jersey first. That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody will get that feel of what's happening.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
We're the three that did that 90s stuff.
Yep.
We're the three.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
And we're the longest together, right?
Yeah, and we're the longest together. And then Perk came, and then Hershey and all them. But these dudes deserve that.
Yeah.
They deserve to get their jersey retired here, and all these people here get to go, because we'll sell that motherfucker out, and it's going to be cool.
Let's go, dude. You know? It's going to be the greatest night in Seattle history. Everyone's going to come back for that, too.
You know,
Jay Buhner is going to be sitting there courtside.
Yeah, we'll have Ken Griffey.
Ken Griffey.
You know,
all the Griffey family, baby.
Fucking
Craig Griffey's going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Ichiro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Dude, let's go. Yeah, it's it does feel so that group that 90s group. So the chemistry off the court's got to be good. So that team in, like, let's say when you guys first started to click 92, 93 with Dana Barros, Michael Cage, you know.
No, that was 90. As soon as I got there, all of them was there. We had Xavier McDaniel, Michael Cage, Dana Barrow, Sean, myself,
Derek McKee.
That's right. All there, you know what I'm saying? So, but when our dynasty real started is when we got Detlef, and then we got Hershey and all of them. That's when our dynasty started winning like 5 years in a row. We won like 50 to 60 games a year.
Was Detlef in, and then who he came in to, he was a trade, right?
He was a trade for Derek. Yeah. Derek McKee.
Yeah. Yeah. Indianapolis Pacers.
Yeah.
What's that like to have that happen when, you know, Derek was, you know, obviously a big part of the, big piece of the
Derek
puzzle.
Derek was one of our homeboys. Yeah, man. It was tough at first.
Is that your first, like, experience of a trade? It's almost like you're, you know, your folks, I mean, splitting up, or I don't know, you're somebody, you know, your kid getting kidnapped. I don't know.
It was a little bit.
It's a better analogy, but, you know.
You just imagine, like, you know, I'm like 18 years old when I get here. Derek, he opens his arms.
He was like 46, right? No. Derek was what? No, but he was older.
He was a little bit about 4 years older, five years older. So he kind of opened the door for me, helped me out with a lot of things. But then it's tough to see those guys go. You know, it's like we've been part of your development. Then you got to see these guys. Even like Michael Cage, but it was tough to see him go, you know. But then you can see that was coming in, and you like, it's like you're changing in a car. Say if you change in a pickup truck for an Escalade.
Or a Pinto for a Benz. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know.
I'll take one of those. Yeah, that was fun.
I got you all, Sean.
Yeah.
Like a Pinto
for
a Benz.
Right here, guys. Here you go.
It happens. You get old. Man. Your car get old. You got to get a new one.
And then also when you mature, I think me and Gary started mature. We know that we wanted to win.
That's right.
And winning got pretty serious. As we said, the organization kind of got on us. But as we turned things around, we started to get on the organization about changing things around, getting better player talents in. So as much as they were on our ass, we were on their ass and developing us too. So they would get better players in there also. Yeah.
And then it's like this. It's just like you go and draft two Benzes, and then the tires start wearing down, and then they want to get rid of you, right? And then they put brand new tires on us, and then they want to get something else in the car, right? So that's what happened. And then when the car started running real well, they got to get something to keep it running, you know? We went from Ethel to Premium. You know what I'm saying? In the gas.
Dude, Lee, how fucking stoned and lost are you right now after that analogy? He's looking up. He's like, what did Gary Payton just say? This guy is high as a fucking kite. Speaking of the glove, let's get a fucking mattress for this guy to take a nap. Are you good, Lee? Lee, what are you doing? Ordering Postmates? What the fuck are you doing right now? Looking at the appetizer. Okay, I'm sorry. That was very aggressive. You're the most adorable, hungry guy in here right now. Yeah.
You okay, Lee? Fuck it. Go on and lay down. You straight?
Yeah, you're straight. You might be gay, but you're straight right now. Yeah. No, that was straight, like, that was cool black guy slang. All right. Are we going to spark one of these up? Sean, do you want to chat a little bit more? I do want to ask, when Det shows up and Michael Cage fucking leaves, by the way, Michael Cage, can we just like talk about how fucking cool, was he as cool as he, looked like Lando Calrissian from Star Wars, like.
But we couldn't hug him because that damn Jerry curl was going to have us wet. So we tried to stay away from the Jerry curl, but Mike was cool. Mike was good.
Mike was all that, man. He was a sophisticated man.
Oh, was he? Yeah. But I mean, dude, he was such a banger down there on the boards. Absolutely. And just like a big dude. That's also what was so great about that squad is you guys just had like, not just hard and like, you know, you're fast and probably the most athletic squad out there, but like just everybody was going at 110% all the time, it felt like. Do you know what I'm saying? Like running the floor, like they teach you that in youth basketball, running the floor. And I was a fat kid, so I was like, I'm just going to cherry pick, you know? But but you guys were just up and down the court nonstop. Was the conditioning ever so crazy to where you were like, yo, we need a fucking break. We're in great shape. We're going to do it.
Our conditioning was this, man. Like I said, the team got on us. What they did for me and Gary, they said, we want to make sure your chemistry is good. So they sent this to Utah for something.
And LA.
And LA for
something. In our third season, because they were going to trade me and Sean. And then they were going to get rid of us,
man.
When they came in, they told me and Sean that we got to get serious. And we got to go back to summer league and play. And then Coach Gerg took us over. And then what he did was he took us to the hotel, and he showed Kemp highlights of him when he was young coming up in high school. And he showed me when I was in college. Mm. He said, I wanted y'all to get back to that instead of what y'all are now. And we weren't playing the way we were playing, you know. It was like we were scared. And when we went to summer league, Sean started averaging like 35. I was averaging like 30. And it was just something that we knew that we can do. Mm. And we knew that we can dominate the game. And once we start dominating the game, it just became used to us. You know, we would go into every match saying that we're going to dominate anybody.
Anybody.
You had that from the get-go?
Anybody. I mean, we're going to dominate anybody.
Games, all right, how about this? How about this? Me, Lee, Steve Scheffler.
We would have had y'all in practice uniform.
Well, wait, we should. Go ahead.
You know, and we had to dominate the game because, look, Gary is one of those guys who just know all the practice. You know? And he's not going to practice.
Fuck that practice for what?
You know, he don't believe in practice.
You going to get me in practice or you going to get me in the game? Shit, we did really well in the games. So, shit. Yeah, that's what it was. I just said, look.
So there's no practice to this. This is all mental. What you put on the chalkboard, what you can go across the line, the energy that you got to put out for those 90 minutes, you got to be ready to go. If you're not ready to go, my man's going to be cussing your ass all up and down the court. You hear me? He's going to be on you.
Talking about Gary?
Yeah, that's just me, man. Sean knew that some days I wouldn't come in being right, so I had to talk shit to somebody. So it is what it is. I pick a motherfucker out. Yeah. Just be like, talk shit. And then Sean would be sometimes be like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? You don't want to do nothing? Then he'll tell somebody to go over there and he'd be like, say something to him, man. Like, he, dude over here just said something about your mama, man. I'll be like, who?
Dude, it's always the mama shit.
Yeah, it's always got to be a mama shit. And
your mama's so fat,
man.
Her blood type's ragu. What?
Yeah. Oh, that'll piss me off.
Wait, what was it? Was it like really, like what would you say that would really get under the?
Come to get underneath the skin. Yeah, just try to get, because once the skin, once the competitiveness come out of him, it's going to get sold.
Yeah.
Just translate.
We can feed off that energy.
Did you take that leader position like just innately, or was it like somebody told you, like, or did you just kind of out on the floor? It's obvious. Like you're the one talking the most. You're the one rallying everybody together. Is that?
Well, but what that has to be is if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to talk that shit, you got to back it up.
Yeah.
So I had to back it up. I had to prove to my veterans that I can do that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come out here and just be a talker. I had to go and give you numbers. You know, when I went out there, I played 44 minutes a game. Mm. You know, people don't understand. I played 17 years in the league and I only missed 25 games.
Let's give it up. Let's also give it up. Lee's got his food, and those are some great stats.
It ain't this low management shit nowadays.
Dude, I fucking hate that, dude.
Makes no sense.
I mean, they done missed 100,000 games in half of the year. So.
Does it truly piss you off?
It pisses me off, man. I mean, it just pisses me off because a lot of these fans come to see us play. You know what I'm saying? And my daddy always told me, if your foot ain't off and you ain't crippled, you know, you go out there and help your basketball team. And that's what I was, man. I was like that. And then Sean them knew. One time we was in Minnesota and I almost broke my ankle. And I told them we was playing Chicago in 2 days. I said, man, don't worry about me. I'm gonna play. We got on a plane. I got treatment. I went to the training facility and got treatment. Mm. And he knew that I would never leave him out there by himself.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna leave him out there by himself. If he gonna come out there and play and be hard, I gotta be the same way. If I'm gonna be the leader and they gonna listen to me, I gotta be out there every night and produce. Mm. And that's what I wanted to do. I produced every night. I didn't come out there to half-ass nothing. I'm not gonna say, okay, tonight I'm gonna take off, man, because my finger hurt or I got a blister on my toe, man. I ain't dealing all that. I'm gonna get out there and I'm gonna wrap that mess up and I'm gonna give you 30. That's all I'm gonna give you.
Yeah, dude. I mean, bro, I mean, some of the reasons that these players do come up with, it's like, yeah, dude, my best friend beat me at skee ball. I can't go tonight. Or like, you know, somebody, you know, a girl I used to date on Facebook is now married, and like, even though I'm over her, like, it still kind of hurts. I can't take me out of the third. Like, it's just, but you know what I'm saying? Or a minor injury that we've never even heard of. Like, yo, you got. I have to mention how Sean, Gary, and I met too. So, through stand up, both these guys have come to my shows in Vegas, and Sean did the Dr. Phil Live last year in Seattle in June at Neptune Theater. But we first really met through the Champions of Change game. The Seahawks do a charity basketball game down at Climate Pledge every year. Cliff Averill, Mike Bennett, and Doug Baldwin. And the first year, Sean and Gary were my coaches, and I'm just like, fucking, this is incredible. I had the fucking Theragun in the back. I'm stretching. I'm fucking doing. I felt incredible. I'm out there in practice shooting, like, you know, 1,000 jump shots, and Gary comes over, and he's like, you're going to get tired. I was like, yeah, I'm good, Glove. And then I'd say, like, the game starts, and I'm like, all right, and I'm out there on the floor, and Sean's like, come back, you're not starting. I was like, oh, okay, all good. And I go sit down, and then I pulled a hammy halfway through, and then Gary finally put me in, and he was like, big man, it was a little bit of a fat joke, but so he's like, big man, I'm a little better now, I'm down like 10, and so he was like, big man, get out there, and didn't know my name yet, and we get out there, and I was like, Gary, I got you, man. I go, look, there's a lot of athletes out there. We got Richard Sherman, we got fucking Isaiah Thomas, we got fucking Jamal Crawford, but I'm going to give you blood, sweat, and tears, maybe a little bit of calm. I'm going to fucking work, because I'm excited, I'm playing in front of my heroes. And I'm going to give everything I got, and I'm out there, and I'm going fucking 110 miles an hour. And I remember Will Conroy, Seattle legend, fucking gives me on a fast break, and I blew a layup, and Gary called a timeout to take me out of the game. I'll never forget that. I haven't gotten over it. Hey, shit. I was like, yeah, call timeout. It looks like Jamal's winning. He's like, no, motherfucker, you missed a wide open layup. Sit your ass down. Oh, dude. But that, playing basketball games in Climate Pledge, that's obviously like, I know it was a charity game. You still got athletes up and down the court. But does it give, like, and I'm sure everyone's like wondering, like, extra juice when you're watching, like, even watching Jamal just fucking getting after it? Are you just like envisioning and seeing, like, you know, what the NBA coming back looks like? Is it just get you extra excited, or is it just another day at the office?
Well, to me, it's another day at the office. But my excitement to get the Sonics back is because these fans deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, they deserve it.
So they packed out the Climate Pledge to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. They shouldn't have never lost it, man. We just had a dumbass owner at the time. And that's just the way this shit go. He just dumb. You know what I'm saying? He tried to run shit like a coffee business where the shit wasn't supposed to be a coffee business. It's supposed to be a basketball business.
A lot of these kids in the NBA from the Seattle-Tacoma area.
Uh-huh.
A lot of kids who play basketball from this area in the NBA. Yes. You know, so this area is very high up on the list with producing NBA players right now.
Oh, bro, let's go.
Absolutely,
so,
I mean, right.
We want that to continue, you know? We want to see that continue throughout the year.
And plus, that's why me and Sean are always back here. You know, this is like my second home. I was born and raised in Oakland. Sean was born in Elkhart, Indiana. But we're here. You know what I'm saying? This is what we supposed to, is what we supposed to do. This city made us. You know, it made
really
me
did,
and
right?
Sean. You know what I'm saying? It's like I get in the Hall of Fame, but I'm about to get my boy in the Hall of Fame because I'm on the committee now. So I'm going to fuck that up.
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's fucking go.
So it makes it a lot easier for that, you know what I'm saying? And me and Sean was together for many a years. We should have finished ourselves out together, but like again, silliness in organizations.
Biggest regrets, man.
Yeah, biggest regrets.
1,000, but I got to step in and go, like, I'm such a glass half full, probably to a fault guy. Like, and so, you know, for sure, like, yeah, dude, you guys could have probably ran it back for another 10, 15, 20 years. But like the fact that we got, what, 7? 8, like,
incredible, 70 of the best years
in NBA history, and
right.
Like, it, you know, what if an injury happened and we only got 2, or like, right. There's all these other things that could happen. I do gotta say, in the Champions of Change game, when you guys were coaching, it was, obviously I'm joking about you calling a timeout, and I'm not joking, it really happened, but when, but the intensity in which you guys were coaching with made me go, oh, you don't ever lose that. Like, even though we were playing for shits and giggles, right, and for charity, but you guys were fucking getting after it. Like, is that... Is there ever a way to shut it off, or once you
never? If you go to Gary coaches college basketball, and he also coaches the Big Three. He was coach of the year last year, but it's pretty matter of fact.
Let's go. Yeah.
If you ever go watch him coach, hey, take a towel because you're gonna need to cover your face a little bit because he gets on the players. Trust me.
Oh yeah.
It's fashion though. It's fashion, man, and. You know, if you follow him, you'll see he definitely has a strong passion for the game. He definitely enjoys put his mark on it.
Is it wild to you guys when you see a football player or just any other athlete, like the way that LeBron says he can play football? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is there a guy truly that...
He can't play football. He can't play That's all talk. Hell, bro. We all say that. We all, say that in our pride.
So,
yeah, only basketball player I know could play really good football was Allen Iverson.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, Allen was pretty good. He was hella good.
That was in high school.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's a different... it's a different breed in the NFL. They break legs and it's okay.
Nate Robb did both.
Huh?
Nate Robinson, right?
Yeah, Nate was good in football, too.
Nate was great.
Remember, his daddy is from Oakland, California, Chuck Robinson.
Oh, shit.
You remember, he won the MVP for Washington University when they won the national championship. Yeah, so, that's why he was out here and all that stuff. He was born here,
Did you guys play other sports growing up?
I played baseball.
Yeah.
I played all kinds of sports and quit, too. Basketball. You put on shorts. It's warm inside the building.
Yeah, dude.
Everything is good. You know?
Well,
it's a great pitch for basketball.
Well, the right sport got us. Yeah. So it was
face, everything. No helmet.
Yeah.
No mask.
Yeah, fuck that.
And you can see our pretty
teeth
faces all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I had so many posters. What's that, brother? 6'10 helps for sure, and we'll take it from here. But there is something about
a freak ass athlete.
Yeah. Yo,
the height definitely helped.
You ain't lying about the pretty face thing, man. You got, I can't be the only guy in here who had posters of you guys. Is that weird to hear as we're sitting across from me, I'm like, I had your poster. I mean, I didn't have it above my bed and look at it before I went to sleep, but like, I had it on my wall next to my Nerf hoop on the door. Do you know what I'm saying? Because
But Adam, what's the crazy thing about it is, everybody, if y'all don't know, me and Sean is together a lot. You know what I'm saying? Me and Sean, we do a lot of things together. We got a lot of business together, and we travel a lot together. So they be coming up to us and be like, hey, I had your shoes when I was 3. I said, no, I look like you 70 right now. What the hell is that? How can you be, you know, when you had my shoe when you 3? You know what I'm saying? You look like you 70. You know what I'm saying? So me and Sean be like this, and then they'll pull out a camera. And they about this big. And they about this big now. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, Sean, how old are we? And it's crazy that they do that. A lot of people do that. But they wear our shoes, our jerseys. And one dude came out, he had me and Sean's, we was in a signing in the East Coast, and he had a little jersey about this big. And he was about 30-something years old. He had his jersey about this, me and Sean's jersey.
God damn.
And I'm like, how long have you had that?
Yeah.
And he said since he was about 5 and 6 years old, man, his parents gave him that.
Damn.
And me and Sean, we get the craziest stuff, man. I'm telling you.
I'll look at Gary and I'll be like, little jersey this big.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Get the dust off that bike.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dude, fans are diehard, man. I remember going to Red Robin. Sean, you might have been there. I want to say it was you and Dead. Did you ever do a Red Robin, like, autograph signing?
In Bellevue.
Maybe even South Center? No,
It was Bellevue.
So my mom
because that's the one where, and then South Center came later.
That's right,
You got the Bellevue.
So it was a Bellevue Red Robin, and we went there, and it was like, dude, meet Sean Kemp and Detlef Schrempf. And I was like, fuck it, let's go. So my mom takes my sister and I and Allie. We drive down there. We're waiting in line for, I don't know, 2-3 hours, right? Line's moving slow because everybody wants to have their moment. Like you said, like people are like, dude, Sean, I played you in NBA Jam last night. And Sean was like, cool. Yeah, man, any tips next time I play you? Like, just, you know, like, you freeze up, though. Fans freeze up. Like, Sean, I'm going on a date next week. Got any, you know, like, everyone just wants to have their moment. And I was the same way, and I was 10 years old, and we get up there, and I remember I get up there, and Detlef, Detlef's from Germany, right?
Germany.
Yeah, and I mean, his English is great, but the accent comes through from time to time, so I remember I sat down, and he was like, who do you want me to, that's not his voice, but that was not Detlef Schrempf, but he was like, who should I make it out to? And I was like, put Adam Ray, and he was like, is that your name? And I was like, yeah, and then he signed it, and then I went over to Sean, and he was like, who do you want me to, do you want me to sign my name? And I was like, sign somebody else's name, and he was like, wait, what? And I was like, just kidding. And then fucking, I just froze up. And then, but it was cool. Do you remember that? Can I get another tequila, please? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway. What's, yeah, dude, it's time to, yeah, it's, dude, fill it up. One more time for GP and the Rain Man, huh? Let's fucking go, dude. I mean, this is, we're having a good time up here. Just you talking about, Gary, the connection with you guys, and you told me this once when we podcasted, man, maybe 5-6 years ago, and you were telling me about, like, the signal that you and Sean had for alley-oops, or, like, kind of the sign when you guys were running down the court, how you let him know that it was coming. Do you got that video, Casey? First of all, I just want to give a little throwback to, this is the top 10 alley-oops from the Glove and the Rain Man, so let's just fucking take a trip down memory lane.
Wow, a thunder dunk. That was awesome.
Not there, and Peyton with a rebound. Camp releasing down court, but Peyton didn't see him. There he does.
Now he does. I guess he did after all.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm sitting here.
He said, wait until you get down a little bit further down the court, big fella, before I throw the lob to you.
Avery up the floor, trying to angle middle, knock down by Peyton. Gary rips it away, goes the other way in the lane. Up top, Kemp is there! Oh, he cocks it up! The Hawks at home. Sean Kemp for an instant. The magic was back.
Looking inside for Simmons on the post up. The entry pass deflected. It's a loose. Wrapped by Gill. Nearly knocked down. Centers it to Gary. Up ahead. Leap pass to Gill. He will go to get it with a right. Pack it in the left. And bring it down with two hands. Get up for the downstroke.
With a super pass to Kemp and the Jam.
Cocks
the arm back like it's on a hinge, then comes forward and just rips it.
What a great pass by Peyton. Right, he picked it up just underneath. That was blocked by Kemp. Nice block shot by Kemp. His second. The ball to Peyton. Peyton lobs it underneath.
That is a brilliant basketball play. That is professional basketball at its best.
And boy, they brought the fans to their feet on that one.
And ask you the rebound.
Look out, look
Peyton
out.
Sets up Kemp.
Holy cow. Look at George Karl. He's over there just going, oh my.
Hardaway turns the corner, pick and roll, Isabella for three. Get out of there, it will. Ball rebounded, tapped away, McClellan to the key. Up to Gary Payton. Lead pass to Kemp. Hill.
I mean, let's go. Come on. I mean, come on, dude. Are those not the best highlights you've ever fucking seen? Are those not the best highlights you've ever seen? God damn, dude. I literally just leaned over to Gary and I was like, dude, I don't think I've seen any alley-oop highlight like that in the last, I don't know, many years. What?
But they used to say, who was it, Chris Paul and who?
Blake.
Great. Talking about Lob City shit. We invented that shit. Yeah. You see that? That was easy. That was easy for us. You know what I'm saying? That's easy. It was easy for me. It was easy. It was him.
I'd be like, well, anything you throw, I could catch. And of course, we drink him at nighttime. You know what I'm saying? And he started throwing this shit. not looking. He throwing it up there to the ref. I'm just like,
he should have never told me to go throw anything. Shit, fuck it. I'm going to throw anything.
And you were telling that. You said throw it up like that.
He didn't say throw it anywhere because
throw it anywhere.
He would know if I get a steal, I would always tell him, once I get a steal, just run. Just run. Because I'm going to see him wherever he's at because he's going to get rewarded anytime I do anything because that's just the way it was. And then at the beginning, he used to be like, woo, woo, and I would know where he was at.
That's what I was talking
about.
But
now I just start figuring it out where he was at because I knew he was coming to run. So then I just throw it up, and then we start throwing it off the glass.
They can't call. They're letting you know I'm on the burners. I'm running.
Yeah,
we warned the big man for running.
Yeah, I'm rewarding him. If he get a steal and I'm coming back, as you've seen it, I used to always wait for him, man, because we always wanted to be. Y'all got to understand. SportsCenter had and we wanted to be on SportsCenter every night. You feel what I'm saying? We wanted to be on one of the top 10 highlights. You understand me? And I think we was on for about 30 weeks in a row. We was at double. We was on one top three for 30 weeks in a row. Yeah, we always had a dunk. Yeah, yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, can we talk about something for a second? Please, can we just get real? Let's talk about mental health, baby. I mean, 10 years ago, if you told somebody that you were seeing a therapist, they'd be like, dude, what are you, nuts? They look at you like you just admitted to having a collection of ventriloquist dummies in your basement. Now, that is weird, but it's also your life. But look, if you're telling someone to go to the gym, what do they say? Oh, cool, what exercises do you do for your brain? And that's awesome, but we still got work to do, folks, on ourselves. Did you know that 26% of Americans are avoiding mental health support because they're worried about being judged? Well, that's like avoiding the dentist because you're embarrassed about having teeth. We all got teeth, though. You gotta brush your teeth. All right, I'll take it from here, Joe. I got buddies in comedy who've completely transformed their lives through therapy, learning how to deal with stress, setting boundaries with crazy family members, figuring out why they keep dating people who steal their identity, the whole nine yards. That's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their network of more than 30,000 licensed professionals. It's fully online, which means you can do a session while sitting in traffic on the 405. Not that I recommend that, but hey, the best part, if your therapist isn't vibing with you, just switch. No awkward breakup conversation, no extra cost, just a new match who might be perfect for you. They've already helped over 5 million people worldwide. So look, why don't you help yourself with BetterHelp? Visit BetterHelp.com/aboutlastnight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/aboutlastnight. Hey guys, Adam Ray here. And when I started this podcast, it was like being thrown into the deep end without knowing how to swim. Thankfully, I have floaties on now. One minute I'm doing stand-up, the next I'm trying to figure out how to edit audio, design logos, schedule guests without losing my freaking mind. Sorry for cursing. I mean, look, who knew starting something would mean wearing all these hats? It's like when you go to a party and suddenly you're the DJ, the bartender, the bouncer, and the guy setting up 7 minutes in heaven. If I had Shopify back then, game changer. Cha-ching! Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. So, if you want to get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify is here to help you. Build a beautiful online store to match your brand style. Accelerate your content creation. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Look, you want to get the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. It's easy to create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify is your e-commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Here's what I want you to do. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. That's sign up right now for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Do it, baby.
So you're saying anytime you would run down court on a fast break, you just assume you... Wait, what was that noise? Hold that mic, Sean.
So all he did was boop, and I knew where he was at. And then I just throw it, and then you see me, I used to always run around. I didn't even look. And I used to start celebrating, and he'd do all the other celebrating. He went to go get it. I mean,
I would be in the air, and I was,
he's over there folding. Yeah, I'm doing all that. I'm doing all that.
Wait, did somebody like Detlef ever try to prank you and run down court and go, whoop, 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 and then you're like, wait. And you're like, what?
They knew they wouldn't get in the basketball. You see it, he's on a fast break, who I always would go to. Nah, we was in high.
The only guy you could throw lobs to, right?
Yeah, it was And him, and then we had Kendall Gill for a minute. Kendall could go get it for a little bit.
Yeah. Wait, Kendall Gill. So before you pull this picture up, Casey, so I went to Sonics games all the time as a fucking kid. We're about to see a picture of me at 10 years old, courtside in the Coliseum with Kendall Gill. And before you, okay, yeah, before you pull this picture up, my mom got me a 6-game package, right? Fucking, yeah. You know, crushing the game, single mom, three, four jobs. She bought me condoms when I was fucking 9, you know? She was like, you're going to need these someday.
When I was eight.
But they were Magnum. She believed in me. And she was like, someday you're going to fit in these. Someday, not tonight or in 30 years, but someday. So she takes me out. So we go early because at the Coliseum, you come down early. You know, security was tight, but they were pretty loosey-goosey about coming down early. You guys are warming up. You could stand right down there and, like, maybe take a picture if the security guard was cool. So I'm like, Mr. Gill. And he comes over. This might be 93, 94. And pulled that picture. Kendall Gill took a picture. Blow that shit up for me.
Oh, shit. You was a little fat, chubby motherfucker, wasn't you? You had big ass cheeks and everything. God damn, look at your arms. Fuck. What the fuck? Look at your face. Had a hell of a hair though. Had to have a hairdo.
Dude, I look like your mom's best friend, Sharon.
Yeah. Hey, I got something to tell you. Underneath that uniform is a Michael Jordan.
Under Kendall's jersey?
There's a Michael Jordan suit underneath that.
You got a Michael Jordan suit underneath there?
Oh, me?
No, Kendall do.
Well, yeah.
He talking about Kendall because Kendall was in love with Michael Jordan.
Kendall loved Michael Jordan?
Yeah, he loved Michael Jordan.
He had a Michael Jordan uniform underneath that. Uniform.
Yeah, he used to wear under his jersey a Michael Jordan
suit. I had a problem with that. I didn't like that shit. I don't know.
Because he's from Chicago.
Well, yeah.
He was infatuated with Jordan. Yeah.
That was your foe, your enemy.
I had a big problem with that, man. Take that shit off before we play, man.
Yeah, yeah. Sean used to hate it, though. I used to like, it is what it is, man. Whatever. If you want
to
wear, wear a G-string, you can wear it. I wouldn't give a shit.
As long as you rebound and box out.
As long as you play, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, let's talk about the way we're holding
hands.
Damn,
he holding your hand? Damn, man. Hey, that don't look right, man. You only about 12, man. God damn. No, that ain't cool right there. I didn't even see that. Why is he holding your hand so tight? And he got his hand on your shoulder, like, woo.
He just asked me to the junior prom right before we took this. But I mean, you know, he was just trying to be nice. But dude, I mean, I don't know who's at fault here. I think I would like to think I didn't pose for a picture, and he goes, put your hand out, and I went, grab it however you want, Mr. Gill. So I think that's on him.
Oh, shit.
He grabbed...
It's kind of 50-50, though. It's at the 50-50
It's a 50-50 right handshake,
it's
50, yeah.
It's right there. It's like...
If he'd get out of here, bud, that'd be great. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, dude, the way his thumb is resting on... My hand, I mean,
that don't look right.
It don't look right.
That don't look right.
We both look happy.
I was about to say that y'all both happy.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
He's like, I'm making this Make a Wish Kids Night, and you know, and I'm like, I'm getting to meet fucking Sonic, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But dude, I mean, when you're looking at just like, that's Big Smooth getting ready to fucking cock a three in the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Big Smooth in the back.
Can we just please? We can get off this picture, by the way, unless you guys want to keep it up there, but. Please tell me, Big Smooth, when he got to the Supes, was it like, I mean, he's coming from L.A., right?
Yeah.
From the Lakers.
From the Lakers.
So there's some, experience. That
No. Was he coming from Dallas?
Lakers.
No, Lakers. He's coming from Dallas. No, he went to Dallas.
Okay.
And then he was with Lakers.
I think it was Lakers. Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I'd never seen a big man shoot the three before. You know what I'm saying? It's like George Mirasol was firing him up.
Well,
you know?
He was the first stretch big man.
He was the first.
It is now.
He kind of started.
He was the first.
Break that down for people that don't know what that means. Yeah, what's a stretch big man?
Stretch big man means when you get out the post as a big man and start shooting threes.
Gotcha.
That's a stretch big man.
Which is everybody now, but
that's the whole league now. Because our
all big men are stretch.
Yeah, our weapon was Sean, Shaq, Patrick Ewing, all that. We was a big man. We would go in and out.
You know what I'm saying? So they'll get doubled, so then we can shoot a three.
Yeah.
Now it's like you coming off a fast break. It's 3-on-1. They running straight to the damn three-point line instead of trying to get a bucket.
Dude, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? That's crazy to me.
The fact that Steph can put him up from anywhere is incredible.
He's just a little different.
He's a little different.
He's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can shoot that. You know,
he's like a, he's the only
he's
one,
like
though.
He's like a PlayStation. You know, that's why kids like him. I'm telling y'all, that's why kids like him. Because he plays just like PlayStation. All them shots they play in PlayStation, he makes. Mm. But everybody can't make them shots. You know what I'm saying? It's like that. Yeah.
But he's giving, but the fact that he's doing it on such a high level is making kids go, oh, cool. Like the same way you want to emulate your favorite player, you're like, right. Oh, maybe that's what I got to do to make a splash in the NBA, right?
Right. And that's what they're looking at. And it's not realistic. It's not going to be too many people as a shooter like him.
Kaitlin Clark, baby.
Uh-huh. She can shoot, bro. She can
Kaitlin
shoot.
Clark?
She can shoot. Uh-huh.
She can shoot.
She can shoot.
But goddamn, not like that now.
You can,
like
yeah.
I
yeah.
like Steph Curry.
Steph is,
but she's one of the best women basketball players
1,000%.
That's going to probably ever play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you still had the Cheryl Swoops. You had the Cynthia Coopers.
Yep.
You had Cheryl Miller, Sue Bird, who's going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Let's go. Give it up for Sue Bird, by the way. Seattle fucking legend.
Me and Sean will be there to support her in Springfield.
So, how big is that win?
Sue Bird, she deserved that, though. But she won a couple championships.
When the city was down, she
won a couple championships. Yeah. You know, I mean, she deserves that.
And we'll be there to support her.
Absolutely.
Talk about that. That's a big deal, right? When the Supes left, and there definitely was a hole and a void in like having a successful basketball squad on any level, but especially for a women's pro, like that was huge, right?
What a storm took over for that. They started winning championships for this team, you know what I'm saying? And then the Seahawks did the same thing.
Yep.
They started winning championships, and that's what it was all about, because you took your basketball, and that's the only thing that we got missing here in Seattle is basketball.
Yep.
But it'll be back soon. So we're not really worried about that. We just want to get it back. We just want to get it back here and give them what it is, because this is a sports town, and then that's what it's supposed to be.
Deserving sports town at that.
Yeah, 1,000. Give it up. And give it up for that picture of me and Kendall Gill one more time. That's the last time you're going to see it. I'm going to take that picture off my fucking Instagram after the abuse I just got.
I'm about to put that in my phone. Fuck that. That's in my phone. Send that to me. I'm going to post that on my Instagram page.
Only if we recreate the pose backstage. I mean, fuck, dude. Wait, so, but the Coliseum, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I'm seeing Big Swoon in the back. The Coliseum, dude, hit different. Key Arena was fucking perfect. Didn't need to be knocked down yet. That's just my own opinion. I thought it was fucking a perfect, spot for hoops. The acoustics were great. Coliseum was fucking wild, dude. I mean, it was like a little, it was a kill box, right? I mean, it was like.
It comes down about money. It's all about money. And then also the NBA's got this guideline where they want to keep all these great arenas across the country.
Right.
But I actually like playing in the Coliseum.
It ripped, right? Great.
Coliseum was like a barn. And it was just like, we came home. You know what I'm saying? You put all your cattle in there and we go get it in.
$5 beer nights.
Yeah. They had $5 beer nights?
I mean, it's cool. The guys are going crazy in those days. Absolutely.
When I got there,
I guess I should have known there were $5 beer nights. I look like an alcoholic lesbian. I mean, like a fucking... Like, you're telling me this woman doesn't know that there was $5 beer nights at the Coliseum in 1993?
No,
Sharon knew what was up. She brought Jello shots in her purse.
But Kendall, he only grabbed your hand because of the lip gloss you.
Yeah.
Damn, your lips is kind of shiny.
That's tonight's Doritos joke of the night. Dude, wait, but tell me this, though. The like, that last alley-oop in the top 10. Like, and Calabro just like, get it up, put it down. I mean, dude, fucking, did you ever go back and watch the highlights just to listen to Calabro?
But we used to be on the airplane talking about this shit.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
But you know why that's number one, right?
What?
That was during the time that we just clinched and beat. We just beat that. That was a big moment of the game when we got that rebound and got that dunk. That was in the playoffs against Golden State.
Yeah, yeah.
We clinched it right there. And Golden State was like the number one seed or something. And we
had Run TMC.
Yeah, they had that. I didn't realize that.
This is George's old team.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a cool play. It was also like an important.
It was one of the historic plays. Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Because we, that number one, we got. in Sacramento, we got a hell of a play when I got a steal and I threw it almost to the corner of the backboard and he went and go get it.
Yeah.
And that was in the playoffs too. That was a hell of a play.
Because Sacramento's one of the worst fucking places to play in.
They used to have cow horns and shit like that. It was cowbells.
They used to
right behind us. Yeah. With some cowbells and I used to be like, man, throw that shit to the rafters. I'm going to get it.
So you hear everything that's being screamed, all the noise.
You hear everything.
I mean, you try to drown it out, but it's pretty intimate.
I mean, we looking for things to take personal.
Yeah.
You know, we wake up looking for something to take personal. Something to get me going.
Yeah, anything. I do that a lot.
It didn't matter.
He knew that. I used to go in the stands and just fuck with people just because.
With the fans?
I'd say something. Yeah, say something to me.
That's going to make us mad.
Yeah. And then I'll be like, and then the coaches be like, leave them two alone. You know what I'm saying? Because they know if they get us in a zone and me and him have 30 apiece, there's no way in the hell they're going to win. There's no way they're going to win.
Everybody considers you the best trash talker of all time. Which, by the way, but the only reason they're cheering is because you back it up.
I mean, Gary Payton was... I remember our point guard early on in my career, he didn't want to bring the ball up against Gary. And that's really kind of how I started bringing the ball up and playing point forward. Gary would talk to whoever, talk to refs, players, coaches on the other team, fans.
Yeah.
He talked nonstop and backed it up. So he was the guy that, I think was the ultimate. And it was a little personal. He got a little personal at times with folks. But, I think, that's basketball. You're trying, like you said, you're trying to get an advantage. Yeah. You're trying to get over on somebody. And if you backed down or you showed that you were scared, then he had you.
Great. Yeah. Did you have to practice lines? Or is this just like...
Hell no.
Like, we in the locker room being like...
If somebody said they was out with my wife last night, I was out with yours too, because I was gone too, shit. So it is what it is. Nigga, we both had fun. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? If you want to get personal, I get personal with you too. So, you know what I'm saying? If you was out there, where was I at?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was somewhere too. Well, your wife was with me, so it's good. So.
Did they ever get to a point to where somebody just said like, Gary, enough! Did Mark Price ever go, stop it, man?
That I got them.
Yeah.
They little bitches.
You could tell
then.
When they got.
Yeah, they little bitches. Yeah. Then. I got them then. They whole game is mine then. You know what I'm saying? And that's what he knew I like to do. I like to get people to give up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
because after a while, they're going to pay attention more to me, and I'm going to be killing them. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, that horn going to go, and they're going to get subbed, and I'm going to be over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get them out of their game.
Yeah.
And that's where it was. And then they get mad at me. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've done what I was supposed to do. I got you out your game. I got you mad.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing the same way I wanted to play. So Sean them used to always say, Sean used to tell our players, leave him alone. He know what the hell he doing.
Well, absolutely.
And that's, it,
like in practice and shit too.
I tell the
guys, hey, hey, don't you say, let him do it together too.
Let me do what I got to do, man. Leave me the fuck alone because I'm a win. Mm-hmm. They always always say the same thing. Like, when
I say, they come to you, rub behind you, man.
Yeah, and then when we was in timeouts, I didn't never go in the huddle. And then everybody used to always, the coaches used to be complaining about that. And Sean and Coach Carl used to say, man, leave him alone. He hear everything you're saying.
Everything.
And then they try to test me and say, what did he just say? And I'd be like, well, he said, run this play, run that play, run that play. But I don't give a fuck about the play because I'm going to run whatever I want to run. So it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Shit.
So he shouldn't tell me nothing because he used to tell me, be the coach on the floor where I don't have to talk as much. So I would know the game.
Yeah.
I would know what works for us. If Sean has scored 3 or 4 times on the block, I'm going to give him the ball on the block.
Right.
3 or 4 times you run for him. You don't have to tell me what's going on because I know what's happening. Mm. So if it was easy, that's why we were winning basketball games so much, because I knew how to control the basketball team. So
let's go.
It was good for me. You know.
Sean, did you feel that in the practices? Is there a big man equivalent to talking trash? Because that feels... Like, would you guys talk shit to Karl Malone or Rodman?
He called shit to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, there's
it didn't matter who it was.
When you dunked on Rodman's face, I think you told me.
Teabag?
Yeah.
Oh, you gave him a teabag?
All on a teabag. And he's,
did you say anything to him after that? Or is it just the
teabag?
Yeah.
Hey, but y'all don't understand. Shy used to talk a lot of shit too, though.
Oh, yeah.
After he dunk on you and do all them facial expressions, he used to always say something. And that's why I used to always be posing at the half, because I knew he was going to do something after he dunked.
So, dude, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was fun. You know, they put us in the best duo of all time, which is what it was. Yeah, it was just a great duo.
Sean, what did you say when you fuck? Was it Alton Lister or Gatling when you got him down and then. When you fucking did that, who was that? Was that on
the Lister Blister?
Lister in the
yeah,
room.
Were they called the Lister?
Lister Blister.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what did you say anything or just pointing up? That's like just pointing and not saying anything is almost worse than saying something, right?
Man, just acknowledge him on TV for the whole world to see his punk ass laying down there on the floor, man. After the hard fouls he was giving me the previous game, so that's what it was all about.
Yeah, man.
What was the coldest dunk to me that he did on somebody?
Alley-oop or just camp dunk?
Just dunk.
Of all time?
That he dunked on somebody.
And oh, Mutombo.
No. You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Chris Gatlin, and then he dapped him up and gave him high
five. Oh, yeah, dude.
And when he shook his hand.
Oh, that's right.
That was just disrespectful. Yeah. You get dunked on and shitted on, and then you go shake his hand like you in school?
He was confused.
Hell no. I'm going to try to slap you because you dunked on me. But he shook Sean's hand, and I said, oh, you just his little girl right now.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Dude, a few questions here. Going to high school to pros, right? Sean, you only did one semester, right? Trinity Valley Community College, right?
Good.
One semester. So that's, I mean, pretty much like going straight from high school, right? Because a semester.
Well, I never practiced to play in college or anything. Probably just went there with the class, few times.
How many guys? What classes? Do you remember what classes?
Water boy. Shit.
Water boy.
He was doing shit. He just go get the water bottles out and go home.
Man, it was cool.
Look how that turned out. You feel me? Shit. Look what we were just trying
to get that year over to get on into the NBA.
Famously, like you, I would say, like what Garnett, LeBron, like there's only a handful of guys truly that went successfully from high school to the NBA, right?
Yeah, the first person who started was Moses. What's his name? That died for the Philadelphia. Gerald Dawkins.
Yeah, yeah.
He the first one who really came out. And then Moses Malone.
Kobe, I guess, right?
Kobe came out.
Kevin came out before Kobe.
Jermaine O'Neal.
Sure.
How tough is that to do? I mean, it feels
very, very tough, bro. Very tough. Child abuse, basically. Yeah. It is, bro. It is because, you know, I tell you guys this, the NBA's changed these days. They've changed everything about the NBA, but to catch up to these guys in college who are the 3-4 years of footwork drilling, you basically have to take the kid and put him in the gym and child abuse of our drill to get a 3-4 year education.
But you see how it's changed, though, because that's why our era was really, really good. Because the simple fact is, nowadays, if you put a high school guy in this era, they're not going to make it.
Right.
So in our era, it was always great. That's why they put the rule in to say 19 now you get in the NBA. Because our league, and you see about the players that we had in our generation, was a little bit more tougher.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Different.
Yeah,
different. And what are you saying, what you're doing, and where are you coaching right now, Gary?
Yeah. I done took over a lot of coaches. You know, I got a junior college now that I took over. I don't want to go into college, Division I.
Yeah.
I want kids that don't have an opportunity and need to fight to get to that level. And I can teach them to get to that level. You know what I'm saying? So I've taken, thank you. It's easy for me to go take a job at a college and get all the top recruits.
Sure.
I don't want that. I want somebody that don't have that opportunity, that privilege. So I took a team last year. I took over them about 9 months ago, and they only won 4 games. We won 19 this year.
Holy shit, dude!
Yeah, we went to the Sweet 16 in the country of junior college. I made it to the Sweet 16. And now I just got too many now. I got 30 kids that's coming in.
You love it.
I got two pros that's coming to me right now.
Yeah.
That's going to be really, really good. It's going to play for me for 2 years. They're only 17 years old.
Let's go.
So it's great for me to coach them, but I coach different. Mm. I cuss, I scream, I call your mama bitches, oh, I call them all everything.
Hey, check this
call
out.
Your daddy hoe ass nigga, I call them all that. But I just gonna do that. He can't even talk
to
him.
Two years ago, I coached you in the game, and I'm like, oh, man. He's coming. He got his mom, but there ain't never a chance. So I'm like, I gotta go down here, I gotta sit with him. So I went downstairs going to the bathroom. I was like, come on, girl, take me here.
Yeah, and I told Sean, shit, if he can't take it, get his ass up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. I always, in the beginning of the year, I always have parents. I have a parents' conference.
I'm in the bathroom. I'm dying laughing.
Yeah. But I tell them from day one. I tell them, I get all the parents meeting.
Yeah.
I got a parents' conference before everything. I said, listen here. I didn't teach you how to raise them. So please don't tell me how to coach them.
1,000%.
That's it. Don't tell
Stay
me that.
Out of the way.
Because once you say something to me, your son is either going to be out of here or he's not going to play anymore. If you want him to become good, just let me coach him.
Yeah.
I took a mediocre team that only won four games, and I brought all the players back. And then look at this. I had six of them ineligible, so I only played with seven guys.
For the whole season?
For the whole season until the end. And then they all got eligible again, and I won 19 games.
Dude, this feels like a movie that Samuel Jackson should play you in. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hey, Coach Carter, Coach Payton. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? Hey, listen. And then
we had seven motherfucking players.
Seven. I had seven, I'm telling you. But I had them in condition, and we just beat people at the end on defense. We switched. We played hard, we made shots, and we just played together as a team.
Let's go.
As a team. And we won games. And we beat the top team in our conference who hadn't lost at home in 7 years, and we went to their place and beat them by 15. Hey, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, dude, that's no surprise to anybody.
And then in conference, we only played 16 games. We went 12-4. So, and then we got invited and stuff like that. So it's like, if you bite into what I'm doing, I'm going to be okay with you. Don't listen to how I approach you. Just take the message.
Right.
Just take this ass cussing out and do what
you're supposed to do. Just take this cussing out and you'll be all right. You know?
Let me ask this though. You guys both got kids at Hoop. How do you coach? How different is that? Or do you?
That's totally different.
Totally different. Yeah.
Shit, I didn't stop talking to my son. Fuck it. He done made it now, shit. He wasn't listening to me any goddamn way. So he was mad at me since he was a little kid. So I'm like, so I told him it wasn't going to be nothing anyway. And look how he is now. So shit. I got to check and see if they won just a minute ago. So, but me and Sean, it's different with us, you guys, because now we're parents. We're not, but you got to understand, with our kids, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because Sean got a junior, I got a junior, and we named after your dad, and he become a Hall of Famer and a legend and all that stuff. It's hard to imitate who you were, your dad.
Fresh as old.
And I told my son, listen, it's only going to be one Gary Payton. I just named you after me. That's it. That's it.
Holy
You're not going to be me.
That's
It's the truth.
Dude, happy birthday. Sleep tight. I mean, fuck. Did you put him to bed with that shit?
Yeah, I had to.
There's only one me, motherfucker.
It's only one me. And then I told him, if you want to be like me, my picture is up there on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Put your picture next to my wall, to me, and you'll become who you are.
There you go.
And look at him now. He's one of the key things at the Warriors right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? He do what he got to do, man. I don't know if he's my son, though, because he jumped too goddamn high. He like, Sean, I told him you might be the mailman's son and shit. I don't know what it is. But he's a great kid,
yeah,
man.
Dude.
That's what I love him about him, man, because I don't really care about the basketball. I like when people come up to me and say, your son, one of the sweetest guys and one of the sweetest persons you ever had.
Yeah,
you did a great job. He's a sweet kid. Yeah,
that's... I mean, that's where it's at, dude. I love that.
So he's a great kid, man. It couldn't happen to a better person, bro. Well, actually, my nephew and his son that you go to college are playing the Blazers. Let's go.
How about LeBron? So, yeah, I mean, we don't have to talk about it, but I feel like, Sean, we've talked about it off mic, walking around smoking a J outside of Camp Cannabis. You been to Camp Cannabis anytime soon? By the way, man.
Camp Cannabis.
Dude, it's, give the exact coordinates of the store, by the way, real quick. Where is it?
Both in the Soto area, and the other one's in Belltown Disco.
That's right.
First Avenue. Please come see us.
Yeah, dude, go see him. They got there's an NBA Jam machine in there. You got all the soups.
I'll tell you guys this: 420 is great, but 421 is even better.
Oh, come shit! See us. You're a businessman. The Bronny Braun shit. Is it like we were talking about? And you, I think he was just getting ready, or right after that, I think he had just started. They played at the same time, and I think that moment, at least from a fan's perspective, felt like it was, you know, rushed for just to get it. But like, I also don't try to act like I know what's going on because I didn't play. But it's 1 year of college, man.
That's and then you remember he had the heart issue.
Oh yeah,
died, came back. Which he's like my little nephew.
No shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you remember LeBron went to the same agent I had.
Yep.
I recruited him to him, so he's like a little nephew to me. He wasn't ready, and I think guys, y'all don't understand. In the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I see it.
How could he not be?
He's going to be really fucking good. And he's right now, he's starting to develop who he is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like Sean said, fuck, if that was my son and fuck, I was running this shit and my son was able to play with me, hell yeah, I'm going to get money.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him paid and I'm going to do what he got to do. But you guys got to understand, everybody is not ready for this NBA when y'all think they are. Just because the hype of a name. That doesn't mean anything. And he knows he probably wasn't ready at the time, but now he's going to get ready. And that's just what happens, man. We got a lot of kids and a lot of players whose sons are coming in the NBA, and they're going to be good. We just got to give them an opportunity to be good. Right now, it might not look good because they put them in a bad situation, but they're going to be good. I think Bronny is going to be really, really good. It's just going to give him a couple of years. It's just like with my son. My son didn't get drafted. You know, he spent 6 years of struggling. But now look at him now.
Yeah.
Let him do what he got to do and give him that motivation.
Yeah.
And we'll be good. Yeah, you know, he'll be good. He'll be fine.
Did you guys have, that's great advice. Did you guys get, is this a point blank question, but like best advice you ever got, whether it was from a parent or a coach or a teammate, like can you, it doesn't have to be the one thing, but like, is there someone comes to mind that you go that really stuck with you? For me, it's like, you know, I had a young or an older comic tell me once, because I was complaining like 5 years in about, you know, not getting certain things. I thought I was putting in all the time and effort, so I felt like I was maybe, you know, deserved that certain things should happen because I've been doing all the reps. And he was like, dude, control what you can control. You know what I'm saying? So like, keep getting funny, put in all the work, take care of yourself, and that should all happen when it's supposed to happen. And that kind of resonated and it stuck with me. So did you get anything like that?
I got a good moment for myself when I was in college and I thought I had made it and I thought I was there and I stopped listening a little bit. My coach, Ralph Miller, you know, old school coach, Ralph Miller, he came to me and he put me in the office and he said, let me tell you something. If you think you learned everything about this game and you think that you're good enough, you need to hang your shoes up because that's a lie. Because you can learn something every day you're out on this earth. And I took that to the fullest of my head because I don't know everything. I can keep getting taught a lot of things. And that's what it is. People think that they know everything. That's a lie. I don't care how old you are. If somebody come and give you some advice, you should take it.
It feels like we should spark up a cannabis joint at this point, man. You want to spark one of these up? One more time for the glove and the rain, man, by the way. We're almost done. You guys having a good time so far, by the way? It's fucking unbelievable. Oh, you got a light. You got that flame. I got. Am I the kid that took the lighter? Yo, I want to, we've got about 15, 20 left. Gary, Sean, you guys feeling good? You having a good time? Warriors won. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Final score?
95-85.
Let's go. Adding Jimmy Butler was huge, huh?
Yeah, you know what? We got Jimmy Buckets, man, because he plays in the playoffs, man. If they wouldn't have, if he wouldn't have been there the other night against, oh shit. If he wouldn't have been there the other night against Memphis, they would have lost. But he's playing well, man. They only like, hell no, I ain't gonna cut your hand like that. Hell no. I'm gonna do this on top of your shit. Yeah, all right, all right. Stop it, stop it.
All right, I want to do a little... I got some fan-submitted questions. You guys got fans... fuck. Fuck. I feel like I was the plus one of the party. I'm in the only white guy, and Gary's like, be cool. And I was like... and Gary's like, we got to go now, man. All right, fan-submitted questions. You guys got fans all over the world. You got fucking almost 300 fans here right now. So these are fan-submitted questions for Gary and Sean. I'm going to read them real quick. Who's on your B-ball workout mix? And part two, who's on your fuck mix? Miles French, 8 years old, Kent, Washington. So these are fan-submitted questions. These are real-life fans from all over Washington State that want to know... Who do you work out to musically, and who do you, you know, get slippery to, you know?
I'm going to let Sean answer that shit. Shit.
I'll go, and I'll chime in, too, if you want me to start off.
But now, if you was old school and grew up in an era, because my dad would have been 90, and my mom would have been 88. So it's old school. So you listen to old school music. You know what I'm saying? So shit. well, then smoke that shit then, man. God damn. Yeah, shit, yeah. Blow that shit out. Blow it out. Yeah. Well, hit that motherfucker one more time. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, no, no. Puff, puff, pass.
Yeah, puff, 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 pass.
Yeah,
puff,
yeah.
Puff, pass.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Puff, puff.
Yeah, yeah, pass it up. These guys are going to take one more hit and be like, let's storm the Capitol. All right.
Oh, shit.
You Duck Dynasty looking motherfuckers.
Oh, shit.
All right, so for me, I mean, working out, the workout mix would be, you know, probably, you know, I don't know, maybe some Weekend, and then, you know, probably same thing for Getting Down, or maybe some Billy Ocean, Caribbean Queen.
Shit, workout.
You got to throw some Queen in there, man. Yeah, throw some Queen in there.
Workout going to be Biggie Smalls.
Okay.
And then, shit, if you going to get it, man, y'all got to go to Luther or Vanga or Teddy Pendergrass or somebody like that. You gotta have some slow music.
Put this effort out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's chill.
Shit, Adam, you all right?
Hey, Glove.
Yeah.
Put me in, Coach. Remember, maybe I was this cool on the bench. I would have played more than 90 seconds. Wait, Sean, your answer was what? What'd you say again?
Let's go.
No, what'd you say? No, what'd you say? What was your, what's the music?
What you gonna work out to?
Work out to.
And I said a little Queen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then what you gonna get down to?
Then I'm gonna really get down to probably some Baby Swag.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
What about some Nirvana? Didn't you guys tell me who, you, Sean, didn't you tell me that during like the, again, the heyday in 90 Soups that like Kurt Cobain, they would hit you guys up
with everybody.
And do last minute shows and
Pearl
like
Jam. Shit, Pearl Jam, we used to be with everybody, man. Everybody used to come to our game.
They would all come to the game.
They used to want to mess with us all the time. Yeah.
I did the crowd surfer, I did it all, man.
At a Nirvana concert?
Oh, yeah. Sean used to always want to take me to all that shit. I'd be like, man, God damn, I can't do all that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we went to Kiss one day.
That's right.
That mother took me to Kiss concert, man. I said, what the hell? He did.
Oh, shit. All right. That was good. All right. Who are some of the most fun guys in the NBA to party with? Billy Thomas, 6 years old, Ballard, Washington. So these are real fans with real questions.
Shit, I had Sam Cassell. I had Derek Coleman. Yeah, I used to have some motherfuckers I used to fuck with though. John, man, Sean.
No, Derek Coleman, the big guy.
Derek Coleman, the big guy.
6'10". Not Gary Coleman.
You said Gary Coleman.
Not
what the
fucking
hell? You been smoking some of this shit? You've been smoking too? Not Gary goddamn Coleman. Derek Coleman. He been smoking some shit. What the hell?
Oh my God.
You got my jersey on, but I love you. I love you. I love you. Love you.
You literally thought Gary was like, dude, the NBA was crazy. Sam Cassell, Kevin Garnett, the guy who said, what you talking about, Willis, that guy. It was crazy, man. Don't let us near a Dave and Buster's. No, dude, no.
Sean, who was you when we went out? Oh, you got to say, who the big fella we used to play with?
Benoit Benjamin.
Benoit Benjamin. Oh, my God, wow. He was wild.
He's
a wild boy.
What about Steve Scheffler?
That was your partner.
Well, no, man. Hey,
no, hey, Steve was cool, though.
Steve
that
was right?
First of all, I mean, you know, Steve, he about the Bible and everything.
Yeah, so, man. 6'10", dude. I mean, 6'10", he didn't come from
great,
Purdue.
Great guy, man.
Yeah, having a guy in practice like that feels like a guy that's just like got nothing to lose. He's like, I'm trying to fuck everybody up, dude. I play 2 minutes a game.
That's what he did, though. Yeah. He fucked everybody up in practice. He fucked you up. Yeah. But you want him on your team because...
We want him on your team because...
If somebody fuck with Sean, you put him in the game and say, fuck him up.
Yeah,
and he'll knock him out. He'll fuck him up.
He's a hitman.
Oh, man, he'll fuck him up. We
you have hitman in basketball?
We have Frank Mikowski like that. Yeah.
Rub my hand like this.
Let Chef come
in. Wait, say that into the mic again, Sean? What?
Rub my hand like this. They let Chef in for 2 minutes to fuck up the guy that's guarding.
Yeah.
Dude, that's an unbelievable fact. So Steve Sheffield would go. So, dude, this guy who looked like he was a third grade like science teacher. Dude, he had like the Dumb and Dumber haircut. But he was jacked. Man. So he'd go in and you'd be like, yo, go make Charles Oakley rethink his fucking
20s. That was
20s.
his job. It's like a hockey player. Yeah,
but he didn't spend no money. He came to practice in the same jeans and shirt all the time. So shit, that's what his job was.
I love that.
That's why he stayed in the NBA so long.
Yeah.
We go on a 10-day trip. He'd bring one pair of jeans, one t-shirt.
All right. That's hilarious. One pair of jeans and one tee for 10 days.
Yeah.
What was the t-shirt?
You go wash it every day and wear the same thing.
Was it a plain t-shirt? Did it have like the cast
t-shirt.
Of Golden Girls on it?
Plain,
or what was
white,
it?
Plain white t-shirt.
Plain white tee. Yeah.
With a guitar and a Bible in his hand.
Let's go. Wow, dude. Let's go.
But that's true, though. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we don't want any fake facts about Steve Scheffler. All right, next question. Did you ever miss the start to a game because you had to take a pregame shit that went too long? Kimberly Mason, 10 years old, Issaquah, Washington.
Where are you getting these fucking questions?
Fans submitted, dude. I set up an email.
And then all the people you saying is like 10, 12. What the fuck?
Every kid's got a MySpace, dude.
Man, I ain't never missed a start to go take a shit. I took a shit earlier. Early.
How early?
Man, shit, before they even had pregame and all that shit.
Yeah.
You gotta take that.
I would never take a shit at the arena, man. I done it one time and made the biggest mistake I ever made.
Why was that?
Well,
you remember we played Boston Celtics in the Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Coach Carl and me was in the toilet. He was sitting next to me.
It must have stopped like
He was
shit.
Sitting next to you in the stall taking a shit?
No, man, no, he was like...
Sometimes you don't know who it is.
Oh, yeah.
And then all I knew was Coach Carl because I could hear him say something, man. And I was like, damn. And he let some shit out, man, and then I was just like.
Hey, listen. Coach Carl is he's different, tell
him. Fucked me up the whole game. Larry Bird was killing my ass over there.
He different, though. You're going there and taking shit, and he's going to take him and wear your socks and shit. Yeah, he left his socks. He'll wear your socks.
Yeah, sometimes, put it to you, like, we'd be in a timeout in the fourth quarter, and I'd look at him and be like, oh, Coach got my socks on.
Yeah, he'd do shit like that.
Oh, yeah, I borrowed your socks, and Gary, I got your tie on.
Yeah, he got all that shit, man. That's crazy.
He go to your locker and take your shit where?
All that shit.
All the shit that he would forget, he gonna go get it out your locker.
Yeah, he different. He a belt, all that stuff. Yeah.
That's coach confidence, man. All right. We've reached a point. Have you guys had a good time tonight so far, by the way? Is this... We're about done. You guys feel good?
I feel great.
Unbelievable that you guys came out to do this. This will never happen again. This will never happen again like this. Do you know what I'm saying? This environment with these people... Getting to smoke a bit, fucking these guys. I mean, yeah, dude. So I want to end this with we got Simply Seattle is the home base in Seattle. If you guys don't fuck with them, it's where I got my all my. They have access to every Seattle sports team, all the logos and everything, and all their merch is the shit. And they gave us some coats and some hoodies and shirts. And we're gonna do a little Sonics trivia to close this out. And I didn't really think through how for people to answer, so. The first person I hear scream the right answer, I'm going to hopefully pick the right person and toss you a goodie. You guys want to play? Let's go. This guy's fired up. Go ahead, Gary.
Hell no. We can't do it like that.
Can't do what?
Let's just pick three people to the point to. And it's
yeah, that's a great idea, right. Gary.
Because if they yell it out, we don't know who the hell going to
Yeah,
say
you're
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Good call, Gary Payton. This guy's fired up. All right. All right. Oh, Lee, we got to take Lee, dude. I think Lee is a home run, dude. Yeah?
Yeah.
So how about just you guys come right up here to the front, right? Lee and this big guy in the shirt. Man.
Adam, how many gifts are we giving out?
We got about five or six.
So let's just pick five people. Okay. And then they bring them up. If they answer the question right,
great.
We give it to them. If they don't, we bring another
great
person.
Idea. Lee. Lee, Wait, no, you sit down. Lee, go back to your seat for a sec, sir. Go back to your seat. I will have you stand up and scream the answer back.
So whoever we pick, just stand up and answer it. That's it. That's all. So we don't have to do it.
All right, here we go. Lee, you want to be first?
All right, Lee, come on up.
Lee, come on up to the front of the stage, man. Why'd you leave, man?
Damn, Lee, you getting a lot of love and shit.
All right, Lee, get up close here, man. We'll do it this way. Get up close. What's your name?
Lee. Lee.
What's your last name?
Lee.
Austin. Austin, like Texas, yeah.
Great. And what are you on right now, Lee?
Lots of edibles.
Lee's on a bunch of edibles right
some
now.
Edibles?
He's having a good time, yeah.
Okay. Pitcher Coors Light, we're chilling.
Pitcher of Coors Light. Fuck yeah. Take his keys, guys. And, all right, so Lee, this is for a, Simply Seattle Sonics fucking hat, the same one I'm wearing right now. Lee, the question is, what number did GP wear during his rookie season?
Hey, don't yell it out.
I know it.
Don't worry about it.
By the way, who is that guy? I know it. Go ahead,
sir. You got 5 seconds. Four.
5 seconds.
Three.
I don't know.
Two,
just say a number.
Six.
No.
No.
You was
all right. All right, let's do this. Stand up.
Okay, here we go. Sir in the GP jersey.
What number did I wear in my rookie
Lee,
year?
Look.
No, I didn't.
No.
True. Nope.
Sir, what number did Gary wear his rookie season?
That was a 20.
No.
Fuck. Okay.
All right, yeah, stand up. What number did I wear? Number two, I did.
Two, you got it, baby. There goes a hat.
There you go.
All right, dude, we got a, oh, fuck, dude. Gary, will you open that real quick? Sean, this is on you, man. Help us pick somebody out. This is for a dope Simply Seattle, what is it, a hoodie, a shirt? Looks like a sweatshirt with Sean and Gary on the front. Yeah, dude, you want to be the coolest guy in Kent? You want to be the coolest guy in Kent tonight? All right. Who's answering this one?
No, let's get a woman.
Oh, the question.
Let's get a woman.
Yeah. You want to answer a trivia question? What's your name?
Debbie.
Debbie. Where are you from? Puyallup. How far is Graham from south of Graham? Yeah. Who led the Sonics in rebounding in 2006 to 2007? No. It was a white guy.
No way.
Here it was.
Does anybody know?
It was.
Oh, Matt, pick somebody. Pick somebody else.
What microphone?
Taylor Swift, somebody just said? Jesus Christ. Huh? Matt, no. You got it, sir?
Who?
No.
Who?
Robert Swift, they said.
Robert Swift didn't even play for us in 2000. What?
Wrong team.
Yeah, sir? No. Yeah.
No.
Okay, great.
No, we're not. We gotta
do you
go.
Know who?
We got to know. We got to go on. Move on. Move on.
Move Sean, on. Just toss his shirt out, yeah?
No. They don't get it like that. They don't get it like that.
What? All right, here we go.
They don't give it away.
We got to break them early.
We here we go. What Sonic, alongside Alonzo Mourning, scored 18 points in the 1998 McDonald's All-American game?
Y'all should know this shit. Come on.
All right. Who? Yeah, what'd you say? Sean Kemp. Toss it to him, baby. Yeah, that is correct. That is correct, baby.
Knew that shit.
Our last one. Open that shit, Gary. We got one more. By the way, should I ask an easier question? Like, what does green look like? Look at this jacket, dude. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah! I need that! I need it!
I need it. This guy, dude. You started off weak, but you've grown... dude, I love you. Remember when you were like, Gary Coleman, right? He sees that jacket and goes, I need it, man. I need it. I need it, baby. Come on. All right. Last question. This is going to close us out. Who did color commentary with Kevin Calabro during the late 90s? Boom! Got it, dude! Got it! Take that jacket. Keep it going for this gentleman. Open a savings account with him tomorrow. Did you guys have a good time tonight? Tacoma, Washington, I need to hear you guys. Did you guys have a good time tonight? Yo, this is an unbelievable night. Only it's going to happen tonight. One more time for Sean Kemp and Gary motherfucking Payton, baby. The Glove and the Rain, man. You guys were unbelievable. What a night. Thank you so much for coming out. Get home safe. Go Sonics, baby.